Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
My guest on Ag Matters this morning is Ray Nix with Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage LLC. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Amy. It's good to be here. We appreciate this opportunity to come here and speak on behalf of Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage and the new owner.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we wanted to have you on, because Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage has been a hot topic in the agriculture industry as long as I've been a part of the Alaska agriculture industry, which is over a decade. I think it's been a hot topic for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But what was the date? It's been a little over a month now since the ownership transition took place.
Actually, I believe May 16th, I believe, was the date. Okay. So we've got about almost 30 days in.
All right. Very good. And I don't think that we need to spend too much time on the background details of, because we've had a couple of other guests that have informed us about the history of Mount McKinley and those types of things. But I do always like to start with a little bit of history about my guest. So Ray, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your history with Alaskan agriculture, as much or as little as you'd like to share.
Let's start back in 1957.
Oh, okay.
So that's when I got to Alaska. And So I've been in Alaska since 1957. I took a couple trips outside. My background with agriculture is I spent 24 years with the state of Alaska and DNR.
And that's where we first met, right? When I first started at the Division of Ag, you were there.
Right. And So 10 years of that was with the Division of Ag.
Yeah.
And so I was asset manager for the Division of Agriculture and been in living the valley. And so my agricultural background started with pulling weeds out of the garden when I was a kid.
Okay.
And that's where I got it from. And so my heart's always been in agriculture. And so,
Tell us a little bit about your involvement with Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage then.
At the time when I was with Division of Agriculture?
Sure.
So at Division of Agriculture, being the asset manager, one of the assets was Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage
right.
Plant. And I can remember a lot of different things, going through a lot of different projects, attempts to sell, attempts to improve efficiencies, and all those things to try to make it work and keep the doors open. That was the goal, is try to keep the doors open and have a USDA stamp available for local producers.
Right, right. And now, what is your involvement now?
And so now about 2 years ago, Greg Yanulis approached me, and I've known Greg for about over 20 years. And he approached me, and we were talking about all things agriculture and livestock. And so he had an idea that he wanted to expand, and not having the certainty of a USDA slaughter facility was really a challenge for him, because it's really hard to develop markets and grow and expand
sure.
in his businesses. And he's in the meat business and has been for
a long time,
27 years or
yeah.
more. And so
and 2 years ago is when things were really in turmoil. That's about the time that the legislature indicated that they were going to shut the plant down. And, you know, people were really getting excited about it.
Right, and so Greg had just started Rocket Ranch, and his son, Alex, runs Rocket Ranch on Lazy Mountain. And he had just started that, and he had started increasing his livestock production. And so that was really a concern to him. So we talked about it, and we came to the conclusion that he needed to get a stamp. And,
sure.
and so his plan was to build a slaughter facility, a
at
USDA
Rocket
certified
Ranch. Okay.
Slaughter facility. That was his plan. And it was that time when the governor came out and said it was time to privatize. And we'd heard that before, but
sure.
he meant it this time. And that
yeah.
was good. That was good news. And so coming along with that, DNR and Division of Agriculture Director and the BAC said, we're going to try to privatize it. We're going to do what the governor's asked. And at that point, then it became more of a possibility to possible or just the slaughterhouse.
Sure. And one point of clarification just for any listeners that aren't super clear on this, when we refer to the stamp or we talk about the USDA stamp, if you want to put meat in commerce, if you want to sell meat to the public, the meat has to have been slaughtered in a USDA certified facility and have the USDA stamp in it. Now, if I wanted to buy an animal from a local farmer and slaughter it myself, butcher it out myself, and just put it in my own freezer, I don't have to go through that step. But if we want to buy meat at a grocery store, at a farmer's market, in the public, in commerce is the definition, and then it has to have that stamp. So just for clarification on that.
Yeah. And so that was really important. And so, and I remember even in, I believe it was in the December meeting, it could have been another meeting. Sure. There's been a lot of meetings.
We won't hold you to any dates.
But I made public comments as an individual. And the public comments were basically, it wasn't about who operated it. It was about it needed to be privatized and we needed to maintain the stamp. And that's what we, that's what the BAC was challenged with. And so we're glad that we got that opportunity to go through that process, and Greg purchased the plant.
Owns the plant now. And I was kind of curious about the fact that the name didn't change, that you guys decided to maintain the name Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage and add LLC at the end, right? Was there any discussion about that, or is that just business as usual?
Very little discussion. Okay. simply because there's a lot more important things than sure. changing the name.
That's the marketing side of me. Oh, yeah, let's change the name. Let's put a logo on it. How about a T-shirt? Yeah.
Well, so we do have some plans. We've looked at the plant. We've looked at the building, and we've looked at the signs. And
sure.
we've got things to do. There's
absolutely.
No question we've got things to do, but they're just not – some of them aren't as high on the priority list as
absolutely.
we just put in new lighting, and we put
sure.
in a new compressor, and so we're doing plumbing and electrical and all those things. So we're upgrading that plant so
yeah.
it becomes more efficient. That's the key.
That's the most important
piece. That's the key for us right now is to just get some experience being working the plant, getting the bugs out.
Yeah, yeah. So on back on May 16th, when the plant transitioned to ownership, how long was it shut down? How long were clientele not able to slaughter animals?
I don't believe it was shut down at all. And that was... that was an important part of the process with the BAC and Greg. That was
yeah.
that was an important part was that to let that time break and not maintain that stamp, different regulations, new regulations and other things may
oh,
have had
sure.
to take place. And so
yeah.
the bottom line, the transition was really smooth
yeah.
With great help from the director and keeping the plant running until we could get all the groundwork that needed to be done to actually close the transaction.
Yeah. Well, kudos to everyone on that, because
yep.
that's a big deal that that farmers in the valley and livestock producers didn't have to, you know, delay anything in order to get animals slaughtered. So that's great.
And so we're just in almost 30 days. And so what's really good is that times to kill your animal, to schedule your animal to be killed are a lot shorter now. So being a private business has huge impacts.
Advantages, yeah.
In my opinion, positive for the producer.
Absolutely. Let's get into some of those details. So, again, all listeners might not know this, but we're familiar with the fact that while the plant was in state ownership, there were three state employees and a variety of number of prison employees that came through the plant on a daily basis to make things work. So what's the structure of employment over there now?
So Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage is continuing and plans to continue to use inmate labor.
Okay.
That's something that was worked out with between Greg and Department of Corrections and,
yep.
and the state. And so we plan to continue to use inmate labor wherever possible.
Okay.
We have a plant manager, that's Shannon, and I'm going to give you his number later.
Sure.
and so we have a plant manager, and then ultimately we have Greg. And so.
Well, and that's not unheard of for inmate labor to be used in the private world. I know there was a couple of years ago when I was still at the Division of Agriculture, we had a local vegetable farmer who literally could not get crops harvested due to a labor shortage. People kept not showing up, quitting the job. It was too hard, et cetera. And they, working through the Division of Agriculture, and because of the Division of Agriculture's relationship with corrections, they used prison labor to get their vegetables harvested that year. And they don't rely on it on the daily, but they always know that that's there. If they need it, you can call corrections and get inmate labor. And it's got its positive, it's got its benefits, right?
It does. And that's one of the things, it's not like 65 cents an hour, or $1.65 or whatever it used to be. They get paid for a fair day's wage, for a fair, you know, fair pay for a fair day's work, and that's a huge difference. And so they're interested. There's some challenges because the prison that they stay out now is a lot further away than it used to be. But it's doable, and so the inmates come in, and the flexibility of being private means that we schedule it. We'll schedule animals in a tight time frame so that you're not having to pay somebody 40 hours a week when you don't have any animals to slaughter.
Sure.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and without state employees running it, you can probably be more flexible with start and stop times and hours worked in a week, things like that.
Yeah, and so that's what we do. So a typical schedule, and you know nothing's typical in the livestock industry, but a typical schedule would be Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Sure.
And so the first couple of days of the week are usually spent killing the animals that have been presented. And so on the next 2 days, we do the processing. And then Friday could be for cleanup or maintenance or anything else that needs to be done. And then on Sunday, which is nice, so the producers can bring their animals on Sunday between 10 and 2 and drop them off for the next week's kill and processing.
Okay.
All those hours and everything are all subject to change based on what continues to work. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a way that we can give the producer the best opportunity to have their livestock slaughtered and processed in a timely manner. And that's huge.
Absolutely,
it is.
That's
huge.
I want to remind listeners that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio here broadcasting out of Palmer. And my guest this morning is Ray Nix with Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage, LLC. If you have a question during our live show, you can call in at 8951. And we'll take your questions. I also polled our audience via social media and to ask if anyone had any specific questions about the transition of the plant, Ray. And I did get a couple of questions. The first one was in regards to pricing and if the pricing structure for payment or purchasing of animals has changed with the new ownership.
So I don't know what's changed. I just know
where you are now. Sure.
I know where we are now, and keep in mind that we are still in the first 30 days. And
sure.
So we're going to learn things and we're going to adjust as we need to. But so right now, one of the things is when we're purchasing animals, for cull animals, which most of the animals that are coming through Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage, most, not all, are cull animals. And so when a cull animal comes through, what happens is we will buy them at market price.
Okay.
And we buy them on live weight. And
okay.
Right now, today, yesterday, I don't know what the price is today.
It's still early this morning.
Because we use market price around
sure.
the country
yeah.
and then take
and
into account where
sense.
We're at.
Yep.
And so the market price yesterday was 52 cents a pound live weight for cull animals.
Okay.
So then when you buy animals to go to market and you're going to process those and put those into cars or Safeway or wherever you're going to put them, then you have to buy a little differently. So typically, Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage plans to buy on the hanging weight and grade and market
and that's
timing
a change.
And market timing
yeah.
and all those things because, what's most important about bovine or pork is that you're buying something of a certain quality, and that
sure.
quality is what you pay for. And
yep.
so I know that's a little change, and it may get massaged a little here or there, but the bottom line is we want to give them a fair price based on the quality of the meat, and can we sell it?
Yeah.
If you bring all the beef in September, you. Unfortunately, the market goes down, and
yeah.
that's not good. So market timing for production for the livestock producers is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think that makes sense to me because, you know, I grew up on a beef cattle operation, and I kind of understand meat grades and timing of market and things like that. But if a person had more specific questions about their animal, you know, a lot of people are very proud of the animals that they produce, and they might think that the animal that they've raised is of the highest and best quality possible. And then once it gets slaughtered and is hanging, it might show differently, right? And so, there's some opinions there and, you know, a little bit of subjectivity, but if people have questions about it, what is your best piece of advice? Are we just pointing everybody to call Shannon and have a conversation with him about this?
Just know that the market fluctuates.
Mm-hmm.
It's, when you buy animals, it fluctuates.
Sure.
When you sell the animals, it fluctuates. And so Shannon's going to be the one you're going to say schedule your animal with. And so Shannon would be the one at that point in time, ultimately with some direction from Greg on what's working and what's not, on whether it's the correct grade that we
sure.
need at any given time.
Absolutely.
So it's all about, so here's what's important as a producer, is that you raise the best quality that you can.
Absolutely.
And you provide.
Which I think everybody is, that's their
what
goal anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the best quality is going to get you your best price, and market timing adds to that price.
Sure.
So that's as close as I can tie it down.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like an opportunity too for maybe the local livestock groups or 4-H groups to do some meat carcass evaluation classes with people and show people the difference between choice, premium, select, et cetera, right?
It is. It's because that's so very important, because it does matter where it's grown.
Right? Sure.
You know, but the bottom line is that at the end of the day, when the consumer goes to the store and they go to the prime case, they expect it to be prime.
Yeah.
And you can't pay prime price at a slaughter plant for an animal that's only select.
Absolutely.
And so that's what's really important to know. At the end of the day, it's the consumer that's going to dictate that market and whether there is a market for that animal.
Absolutely. That all makes good sense to me. But right now, Ray, why don't we go ahead and give contact information for the meat plant? Do we have a website up and running for the meat plant?
No.
Okay. We're working on it. Maybe.
We're talking about it.
That's another one of those things that's probably not too high on the priority list.
It's not real high on the priority list, but, and this is why this is really a good opportunity, because we've really not put out a lot of information up
right.
until now. We've waited until the transaction closed. And so now
sure.
it's closed. So now I move into another phase of speaking for Greg, whether it's through social media, through a website or whatever. Ultimately, those are his decisions, but
sure.
but that's important to let people know what the market's like,
yeah.
what those things are like, and that way they don't have to always bombard with phone calls. They can look and see what's going on, and
right.
so it's a good idea. I'm working in that direction.
Yeah. So, but the phone number for the plant.
So if you have questions about scheduling an animal, or any of the fee prices, you can contact Shannon at the plant. And remember, he's slaughtering animals, and so his number. Yeah, you can leave him. If he doesn't answer, he could be, you know,
sure.
processing animals. So Shannon's number at the plant hasn't changed. It's
okay.
The same number, just like the name. 745-5232.
745-5232. So no website or social media presence at this time, but you can still call the plant to schedule your animals or to ask questions. Okay. Some of the other questions that we got out in the social media world were, will they grind sausage with our recipe?
And so that's I don't know.
Okay. That's allowed.
And,
yeah.
And that's another Shannon question. And
okay.
so right now we're trying to slaughter animals and we're trying to process animals and we're trying to do the very basics to get the live animal in the meat case so it can be sold.
Sure.
So that's what we're focusing on. But, you know, it's sometime in the future, I'm going to expect as things progress, Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage is going to play a bigger role in producing other products.
Okay. On the flip side of that, if I wanted to bring in an animal and have it slaughtered and packaged to my specifications and then keep possession of that animal, take it to farmer's market, you know, sell it to my neighbor, whatever, the plant still does that, right?
The plant does still do that.
Okay.
And so the plant will slaughter your animal. It will,
okay.
it will process it. It will cut and wrap it. It will do whatever those things are. It'll obtain a USDA stamp.
Okay.
So those things are all available. So yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the
plan. So here's the deal. For the plant to be efficient, we need a sufficient number of animals to come through
sure.
that plant. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so we encourage the producers to, yeah, we don't say you have to, because There's room for small farmers. There's room for commercial agriculture. We have a lot of people we're feeding with outside meat. And
Absolutely. So
I'd like to see that flip-flopped. I'd like to see it produced here. And it doesn't matter who produces it to me. It just yeah. we can
you need
take,
more animals through the plant.
We need control of our destiny.
Yeah.
Our food
yeah.
supply. And
Absolutely.
So yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that was a service that Mount McKinley provided before with a certain fee structure. Do you know, has the fee structure changed on that side of the equation?
So what I know is that since Greg took over the plant on May 16th, the prices have not changed.
Okay.
The prices are the same. And so to take a beef in today.
Sure.
Don't know, but today, the beef, to take a beef in for slaughter is $150.
Okay.
And the cut and wrap fee is 85 cents per pound.
Okay.
That's a paper wrap.
All right.
And
Very
so,
good.
So, and that hasn't changed. So,
no.
So none of that has changed. That's all the same as it was 2 months ago or 3 months ago. I know the producers experienced a recent change. I believe it was back in January or something. There was some changes when the state was operating it but utilities go up.
Yeah.
Gas goes up, electric goes up, water goes up, everything goes up. And so you can only stay the same for so long. And so the important thing here is for us is to, and we did this early in the process, was to identify as many things as we could that needed to be upgraded rather than just raise the price.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
We wanted to find better ways to be more efficient, more effective, and keep it the same if we could.
Yeah.
And so it's way early, so we'll see, and that's our hope.
Yeah. The
that's
important thing is the plant is open, the stamp.
That is absolutely
the
correct.
The stamp is available for industry, and that's huge. That's what the industry has been hoping for all along. You know, Alaska Farmland Trust is interested in this topic because this is a critical component to our food system and our agriculture industry as a whole. Back in January of 2016, I guess, sorry, doing a little calendar in my head there. But in January of 2016, we hosted a listening session over at the Borough Building just to get input from producers. And we had the Farm Bureau was there and the Board of Agriculture was there. And, you know, it's a hot topic. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to the entire industry was that stamp still be available. And the stamp is still available, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Prices might shift a little bit. Scheduling might change a little bit, this and that, but you can still get an animal slaughtered here in Palmer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Call Shannon, 745-5232.
Okay. Couple more questions. And again, we're two-thirds of the way through our time already, Ray, just so you know, it goes so fast. And I do want to remind listeners that my guest on Ag Matters this morning is Ray Nix with Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage LLC. Will they process boars if they don't smell of taint live? If I brought in a stinky old male boar pig, can I get it slaughtered there if I'm going to take possession of that meat and take it back out the door? Because I can't imagine that you would want to buy.
You know, I don't know the answer, but what I would say is the first requirement is that USDA has to say it's okay for it to come in the building.
Sure.
And so it has to pass that muster first.
Okay.
I don't know the
question.
Answer.
Okay,
I
but
don't
that's
know.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't know, but what I would say is like I said, it's got to be allowed by regulation
sure.
or statute before anything comes in.
There are lots of rules in that regard.
And I don't know them all yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and they change regularly too. will they be making blood or bone meal?
I don't see that
in the immediate future. Okay.
I don't see that because we're still way too early in the process.
Yeah.
We're just trying to see where it's at. We're trying to see how we can keep the doors open and not go backwards in the not go backwards in the finances.
Well, as this industry grows and changes, there's lots of opportunities for other value-added processing and other small businesses to jump in, right?
Yeah, and so here's what I would say to that. So Greg's been in the business 27 years.
Yeah.
He's got a retail shop. He's got a wholesale shop. He makes sausage. He's now got Meat McKinley Sausage, which is a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if there was an opportunity to provide another product and it and it was
penciled
profitable,
out. Yeah.
I would be shocked if he didn't say, sounds
let's
good.
Let's do that. Good. Yeah. I mean, if the door is there, if the opportunity is there, you
absolutely.
Know, and again, also if someone else has an interest in providing that service, you know, more power to them.
More power to them. And, you know, that's the thing is there's no one person that can do everything.
Sure.
And we have all different levels of agriculture, and it's not an up and down scale. It's a side to side. We're all looking in the same direction, or hopefully we are, is that we want to be able to produce livestock here for ourselves, not have to rely on the outside world to feed us.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's important at every stage, every level, that we look in the same direction, and because there's room for everybody.
There is.
There's room for new entrepreneurs. There's room for the people that have been doing it a long time. I think the most important thing is that we find a way to produce consistent quality and quantity, so that we can provide food for all Alaskans.
Feed more people. We all know the numbers, 95 to 98% of our food is imported.
And I'm not just speaking to the livestock industry. I'm
sure
the whole agricultural industry. I mean, look at all the markets that have just came on board in the last 10 years. It's amazing.
It is.
You know, the people processing all different terms, poultry is coming back.
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's pretty awesome to see that there's a lot of people out there that are serious and looking to promote agriculture.
Absolutely. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up 4-H and FFA kids. And what's the plan there? Are those kids still going to have access to?
So the answer is, back in 2016, when and 15 and 14, when Greg and I were talking, that was one of the topics of discussion. And so what I can tell you, when we developed our short-term plan,
sure,
they were in the short-term plan. That was, so we haven't got to that yet because we haven't experienced a fair yet under
sure.
Greg's ownership. But the plan is to continue to slaughter and process all FFA, 4-H, whoever is, bring it to the plant.
Yeah.
We'll slaughter them.
I get the impression that the more animals, the better.
That's absolutely
is that correct.
Correct. Okay. That is absolutely correct. And so that in mind, that's the whole concept behind all of this, not just the slaughterhouse, but the whole plan is to grow Alaskan livestock industry.
Yeah. I always like to point that out to people, that it's not necessarily about making your piece of the pie bigger. It's about making the pie bigger for everyone. There is so much room for growth in the agriculture industry in Alaska. We import 95 to 98% of our food.
Absolutely.
It's a $2 billion industry, food is, in this state. And we have such a tiny little piece of that pie. Like,
and part of that pie is the land. And so I'm going to put that plug in here today, is that we need land. We need land to grow the food, to feed the animals, to feed us. And So there's a lot of land. You know, you have Nanantok Jacket. I'd love to see that be brought online. We have land across the Big Sioux, ag land across the Big Sioux. So that's the next step.
Yeah.
To grow the herd, you have to have more land.
Absolutely. Very good. All right. Well, our time is wrapping up, Ray. It's, again, been my pleasure to have you on the show this morning to talk to us about the future of Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage. And let's go ahead and give Shannon's phone number one more time. And then any other closing thoughts you have or final statements you want to make, we're done.
So Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage, call Shannon, 745-5232 if you need your animals scheduled for slaughter. Call Shannon if you need to know the prices for that slaughter, market prices, any of that information, you can call Shannon. I just really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I've been biting at the bit since we offered to purchase the plant, to be able to come out and let people know what we were going to do, what our plans were, and what they were not. And they're not to shut anybody out. They're to invite everybody in and come and be a part of this and be a part of agriculture and its opportunity for growth. I'd like to thank all the state personnel that helped to make this a possibility. It's huge.
Absolutely.
It's a huge. I tried two times to privatize the plant when I was at the Division of Agriculture, and with no success. And so now I get to see it, and that's a pretty awesome deal. And so being a part of agriculture and its opportunity for growth is just a great deal. I'd like to thank everybody. And Greg, thanks you, and I thank you.
All right. Perfect. Thanks for being our guest, Ray.
All right. Have a great day.
listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.